Steve Growick, along with Frank D., another edition of the Growick Report podcast for April the 1st, 2014. And as always, Growick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news, information, rumors, polls, pay-per-view results, TV ratings, TV show recaps, and of course this week is WrestleMania week. We got you covered. We got today's press conference up and posted, recapped at Growick.net. Any late-breaking information coming out of New Orleans, you'll get it first at www.gerweck.net, Growick.net. Today we have a special edition because we're going to talk more about WrestleMania. We're going to get into WWE Hall of Fame. We're going to get into my Hall of Fame, Growick.net. A very interesting discussion yesterday as we posted the results of DDP and up my Hall of Fame. He failed to get in with 62%. We're going to talk about that and some of the reaction from our visitors to Growick.net as to reasons why he was not voted in the Hall of Fame. We're going to talk about matches that never happened at WrestleMania that were discussed. And to help me out, as always, we have Frank D. How you doing today, Frank D.?
I'm going tremendous. Copacetic here in Cali on the West Coast. It's lovely weather today. Nice and cold outside. And I'm telling you, it's feeling like winter now in the spring. Because last month, man, when it was winter, it was hot as hell.
That's good to hear. Well, yesterday, Frank D. and I were prepared to do a podcast. We were going to break down the WrestleMania card, and we decided the disadvantage of doing a podcast on Monday is we don't know what's going to happen on Raw.
Right.
We typically tape on Monday mornings, and we don't get a chance to see Raw, of course, because it doesn't air to that night. So yesterday we decided we're going to wait for Raw to air, and of course last night they also taped SmackDown. It was, if you look at the spoilers, just a couple of matches, and mostly the show is going to be hype to promote WrestleMania, as they typically do, the go-home show for WrestleMania. But the card itself, Frank, is something that we want to discuss, and we were going to get into it yesterday, and we're like, let's wait to see what the Raw will deliver. Let's see what SmackDown does. We'll see if they make any changes to the WrestleMania card. And I said, I don't think they're going to make any changes. I think the card is, as is, advertised, is going to be the final card. We know that the tag title match with the Uso brothers now have been moved to the pre-show. And, you know, Frank, I've been thinking about this card a lot, breaking it down, analyzing it. And I think it was Smith Hart, one of the famous from the Hart family, the eldest child of Stu and Helen Hart, who frequently tweets during Raw, basically said, you know, they're just trying to get everybody on this card. And this is supposed to be the Super Bowl of wrestling. WrestleMania is the biggest show of the year in wrestling. And yet they're trying to get so many people on the show. And compared to the Super Bowl has the two top teams for that year. They don't try to get the third place team in. They don't try to get the fourth place team in. They don't try to get the fifth place team in. Anybody that didn't qualify the playoffs, they're out. So the Super Bowl is the two biggest teams or the two best teams for that given year. But Frank, this year's card, as they've been doing a lot in recent years, we have a 14-woman Divas match. We have the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. We have four teams involved in the tag title match, which won't even be on the main card. And, you know, in the final analysis, Frank, I'm just not excited about this card. This is just doesn't seem like a WrestleMania card.
No, it doesn't. I can tell you, talking offline with you, I'm not impressed nor excited about the WrestleMania card. I'm very actually disappointed that this is the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania, and the card is just this lackluster. WrestleMania, to me, like they say, is the showcase of the immortals. It is the elite of sports entertainment, professional wrestling, going out there and you know, tearing the house down. And like you just said, you know, in many instances, the Super Bowl and WrestleMania kind of go toe-in-toe there. Both big shows, the biggest shows of the genre. And I'm just not seeing the elite right now. I'm just seeing filler. That's all it is. I mean, you would think there would be a lot more hype for The Undertaker versus Brock Lesnar. And it's really not. I think the boat was missed on that one years ago when Brock and Undertaker had that little deal they had at the UFC where Taker says you want to go. And know, I'm not digging the current incarnation of The Undertaker. I'm just not digging it. The guy is really now starting to really look his age, and the whole mystique, and to me, is kind of worn off. 14 Divas, you know, whatever the hell they got going on with that. To have that on the actual card, but to take the tag team championship match and put that on the pre-show, that right there is an injustice to the Usos, who have been the hardest working team, in my opinion, besides the Rose Brothers in WWE for the last year. And for the Rose Brothers not even to be on the show, except for that Battle Royal, is just, that right there is just an insult. But we'll get into all that, Steve.
Yeah, yesterday when we were talking, because we were prepared to do a podcast, and we were just like, let's just wait a day and see what they could do at Raw, what they do on SmackDown, see if they make any changes to the card. And I think I remember telling you, no, this is the card. They've hyped it. And, yeah, we get the final hype on Raw. We'll get a little more hype on SmackDown. But this was the build. I mean, it was pretty much set in stone, you know, before Raw last night, what the card was going to be. And I remember describing it to you as, like, it feels like a Backlash show. And I think you even said it felt like a card at the end of WCW, where it feels so watered down, the lack of big stars on the card. And as you said, it just doesn't feel like WrestleMania to me.
Yeah, this card reminds me of like one of those Starcades towards the end, where it wasn't really filled with stars. You know what I mean? It was just filled with natural born thrillers and new bloods and all that. So it's just, WrestleMania sells itself, but this WrestleMania kind of reminds me of WrestleMania 11, where I didn't really care about that one either. And this show is just going to be garbage. I've been saying it since we've been doing these podcasts. The first, you know, WrestleMania of the new era of the network is going to be the one that sucks.
I think we've been saying for a long time, when me and you would just talk, you know, year after year, that, you know, this is a weak WrestleMania card. This is a weak WrestleMania card. This is a weak WrestleMania card. They just really lack the star power on top. And this year, they don't have CM Punk, which, you know, he walked out of the company, left. So that's already one name from the main roster that's gone. I think a match that a lot of people wanted to see was Undertaker versus Sting. It looked like, going back to January, that there was a possibility that could happen. Now we may have to wait a whole nother year for that. And as you said, you know, Lesnar versus Undertaker could be something special. And I'm sure when they actually wrestle, it's going to be a really good match. It'll probably be the match that will probably save the card, if it can. It'll be a tremendous match, but I'm just not excited about that match. I'm not excited to see Batista returning to get the title shot at WrestleMania. They kind of been, it feels like they kind of got forced into putting Daniel Bryan, or potentially putting Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match. Of course, it was supposed to be CM Punk versus Triple H, and then it became Triple H versus Daniel Bryan. But still, I mean, neither match really blew me away. And, I mean, you're just seeing, like, part-time wrestlers. I mean, that's what you get. You get Batista returning, although he's got a two-year deal. Who knows how much he's actually going to wrestle after WrestleMania. Undertaker's part-time. Triple H is part-time. I don't know, Frank. It's just amazing to me that these seven matches that have been announced, that's the very best they can come up with for WrestleMania.
Well, you know, I think we can all agree, you know, you, myself, the listeners out there can all agree that the glory days of feeling like, you know, Christmas has come early with WrestleMania, those days are long gone. The hype is over. I mean, if at the end of the day, the original plan was for WrestleMania 30 and you know, the Mercedes Superdome was to have Triple H, you know, or excuse me, to have Randy Orton and Batista as your main event for the WWE World Heavyweight title, if that's the best that they could come up with, then that really has me concerned about the future of the company and where they're going. Because you kind of, at the end of the day, you got pushed into having Daniel Bryan. I mean, if CM Punk had never walked out on the company, I believe the original plan was to have Batista versus Orton, Taker versus Lesnar, and Triple H versus Punk. Now, where do you have Daniel Bryan?
Sheamus.
Right, which to me, that would have been a huge step down for Daniel Bryan. So
absolutely,
it's kind of like, you know, the plans kind of changed there because of CM Punk not fulfilling his obligations for whatever reason that is. I'm not going to go into a whole rant about Punk. It's like, at this point, who cares? I never believed that Sting was going to wrestle this year in Mania. I never thought that was going to happen at all. I am open to a Sting, either a Sting appearance at Mania or the night after, because they have to do something the night after to make Raw special. But it just really shows you from a year ago that we've come this far, and the only person that's over is Daniel Bryan out of all these guys. I mean, if you remember last year, Steve, the night after Mania, you know, Ryback had so much momentum. He had finally gotten over. He had, you know, been christened by John Cena as the next big babyface. And he was doing six-man tags with, you know, Kane and Daniel Bryan against the Shield. And, you know, the night after Mania, he comes out there and attacks John Cena, and they just ultimately, it just, after that, killed his momentum. It was done. And now the guy is wrestling tag matches. And the tag team nobody cares about. WWE has made nobody in a year except for Daniel Bryan. And that's just really, you know, bizarre that the number one company in sports entertainment can only make one guy. Kind of reminds me of WWE with Goldberg.
And that's the name I was just going to mention. I think at one time the plan was to do Ryback versus Goldberg. I think they reached out. In fact, I heard Triple H reached out to Bill Goldberg, and they just couldn't come to terms or whatever the reason may be there. They just didn't agree to do the match. And then, you know, Ryback kind of gets on the back burner. And I think he's really been on the back burner for most of the year. And I think if they would have signed Goldberg, they would have had to really build up Ryback again, because, as you said, Ryback's star really went dim right after WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, he did that match. He came out there and attacked Cena last year, the night after Raw, and he had the place going. They loved it. And then, you know, they dropped him. And I'm kind of thinking right now that after what we've seen, if they go through with the match with Cena and Bray Wyatt, and they go through to what I think they're going to do, that's going to kill all of Wyatt's momentum. Because it doesn't look like to me he's going to win that match.
And, of course, we'll get into predictions at the end of the week. We have a special podcast coming up at the end of the week. We're going to have a very special guest join us, Dominic Valente from the Wrestling Hot Seat, the godfather of hotlines. People remember we did a hotline back in 04, 05, and I believe Dominic started in the 90s, and he's still going strong every day, a new report. And we're looking forward to being joined by Dominic, because we're going to discuss kind of the history of WrestleMania, the best WrestleManias, the weakest WrestleManias, and then, as he typically does on his podcast, or I should say his hotline, we're going to get into the predictions. We'll discuss who we think is going to go over and why. So looking forward to talking to Dominic at the end of the week.
Yeah, Dominic is the original hotline player. He's the sole survivor of the hotlines. I'm talking about with Steve at his hotline. I was on the hotline back in the day with Shock from the Bronx. And, you know, Dominic is a sole survivor, so it's great to have Dominic, you know, come on board to the Dirk Report podcast and give his feel. Dominic, actually, the other day, so Dominic had a birthday, so I'm going to send a happy birthday to Dominic from the both of us there. And,
absolutely, because he always plugs our birthdays on his hotline.
Exactly,
so.
Every single year. So got to give a shout-out to him for his birthday. And you can listen to Dominic and the Wrestling Hot Seat, you know, 15 minutes of your time at 212-629-1900. That's 212-629-1900. So check it out.
Yeah, I remember, too, you know, going back to the hotline days, people were critical of our line, and we always would say, you know, if you think you can do a better hotline, you know, go ahead and do it. And I think we quickly realized, I think we all of us, just how hard it is to do a daily report. Because I know on the Girl Work Report, we always try to do a daily report. And, of course, we did a longer report than Dominic would do. I remember the Fillmore line out of Chicago, we were doing 90-minute reports. But just to come up every single day and talk about wrestling when wrestling doesn't taste real good right now. Isn't it Bret Hart that would say, you know, eat, sleep, and drink wrestling, even wrestling doesn't taste very good? Because I don't know, Frank, I don't think wrestling's tasted very good for a long period of time, and yet it's a credit to Dominik that every day he continues on to talk about what's going on in WWE and TNA and Ring of Honor and AAA and what's going on in Japan. It's pretty amazing what he does every day.
Yeah, Dominik is a guy who, you know, goes out of his day, 15 minutes, 16 minutes tops. He'll go out there and he will talk about not only WWE, not only TNA. Like you said, he will talk about Puerto Rico. He will talk about Mexico. He will talk about Japan. The guy has loyalty to his product and what he's doing. So I respect that. I respect the hell out of Dominik because, like I said, Dominik is the man. When I first started listening to the Hotlines, I came across Dominik's line the same time I came across Steve's line, and I never stopped listening. It's that entertaining. So go check it out.
Yeah, definitely. We'll talk to him at the end of the week. Looking forward to that. And remember, he just recently did before last year's Hall of Fame, he talked to Bruno Sammartino, and we, of course, archived that at Gerwick.net, the audio section. If you want to go back and listen to Dominik's interview with Hall of Famer Bruno Sammartino from Dominik's line, you can definitely check it out at Gerwick.net and check the audio section at the bottom. So we're looking forward to talking about the history of WrestleMania and, of course, this year's WrestleMania. But, you know, going back real quickly to, you know, this year's WrestleMania, and we'll talk about more about WrestleMania 30 as we get Dominik on the line. But I don't know, Frank. I'm looking at this card, and I'm thinking last – and I know a lot of people on the Twitter were tweeting about, you know, here's an opportunity to get the Usos on the WrestleMania main card, to get Cesario, who had some momentum there for a while, on the main card, Ryback on the main card. And as we talk today, Frank, we've got women such as Eva Marie on the main card. We've got Rosa Mendez on the main card, and yet we don't have the Usos and some of the more talented young stars they have. And as I said, this is the showcase of immortals, and I think it gives a little bit of a rub to Bray Wyatt to get a match with John Cena at WrestleMania, and yet some of the other guys that they could put on the main card, I mean, they got 4 hours of WrestleMania time, right? Why not put these guys on and put the Divas match on the pre-show?
Well, we can only hope that, you know, this is a four-hour show, and I hope to God that we don't have some type of stupid musical guest appearance concert going on from like a Kid Rock or somebody like that. I hope that we don't have to sit through that debacle like we did at WrestleMania 25, but I don't know, man. You know, I think it's kind of a real slap to the face to see people like Eva Marie, who doesn't have a wrestling bone in her body, who's green as gorge, and this woman has a spot on WrestleMania. Meanwhile, like I said, the Uso brothers, who was the hardest working tag team in WWE history, they had to go back and kind of reinvent themselves with the face paint and all that. I'm a huge Usos fan. I think they're a really solid tag team. And to see them as the tag team champions and to see them on the pre-show, when you are the WWE tag team champions, to be put on the back burner due to females, that really sucks. Because you pretty much know that the audience is going to completely crap all over this women's, this Divas match. So I don't understand the logic in this at all. I would have rearranged this card and put them. I mean, from what I understand, Steve, I might be wrong, but isn't the pre-show 2 hours this year?
I believe it is.
Okay, so you could have easily. I mean, all these guys that you got in this, Andre the Giant, Memorial, Battle Royal, a.k.a. let's just get everybody on the card. You could easily have had a bunch of singles matches with that. I mean, yeah, Antonio Cesaro had a lot of momentum, and that momentum has kind of gone away now. I mean, he was really winning people over with the big swing and all that stuff, and you know, I don't know what happened. But to me, he doesn't have the same momentum that he had when he had a couple weeks ago during that NXT Arrival show. But I don't get it, man. I mean, you know, they got all these women on there, and a lot of them are green, and you're gonna put them out there in front of all these people, and it's gonna be a terrible thing when the fans crap all over this and don't make a sound. It's going to be crickets, and I know they say that, you know, a lot of it is that, you know, the acoustics should be bad, but you pretty much know, man, the acoustics are not going to be bad during this match. People are just going to be crapping all over this and saying, this sucks, this is boring, and I don't know what else to say about it.
Well, you know, we would typically say that the Divas match or the Knockouts match or whatever the women's matches on some of the pay-per-views would be a chance for you to go to the bathroom.
Right.
It's bathroom time. It's bathroom break time. So, you know, perhaps that's their thought here. I don't know. But 14. I mean, the concept of this match is 14 women and the first pinfall counts. So Oksana could pin Cameron and she's the champion?
I guess.
I guess. That's the way I understand it. I know Lance Storm even on his Twitter last night was like, so if this woman pins that woman with AJ not even in the picture, she's a champion. And I thought, yeah, that's the way I understand it too. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, how is that fair to the champion? She's got to defend her title against 13 different girls?
Yeah.
It's not like it's a gauntlet. I mean, they're all, it's 14 women in the match.
I
don't get it.
They couldn't put on a Divas Battle Royal because they've already got a Battle Royal going on.
Right.
So they couldn't do that. That would be overkill. They can't do that. I mean, what would they have come up with anyways? Would they have come up with the Fabulous Moolah, you know, Invitational Battle Royal? Is that going to be the next deal?
Might just do 7-on-7 or something, or four corners. I don't know. But it's on the show.
7-on-7. That's 7-on-7 is pretty interesting. It really depends on the way you look at it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
But I don't know. I just... To me, the build for this year's WrestleMania, and I was thinking the Divas match, they typically would say is time to go to the bathroom, but I got to think with this WrestleMania being on the WWE Network, it's going to be a lot of hype for the WWE Network.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean,
they're going to put it over like Grover. You know, they're going to put it over like Grover.
Oh, they have to, because the day after next Monday, they're going to come out with a subscriber count for the WWE Network.
That's right.
So, yeah, they're going to hype it up. They're going to hype it up like new money. They're going to hype it up like Stevie Ray would say back in the day, like Neckbone. You know? They're gonna make sure that they got as many people subscribing as they possibly can. So, yeah, we're going to see a lot of network hype. They say WrestleMania is 4 hours. Yeah, probably, you know, 2 hours, that's going to be hype.
Absolutely. Of course.
For the network.
Yes, right, because they want to get the holdouts, the people that who are not subscribing, that will order the show on a pay-per-view basis or go to their local Hooters or watering hole and watch it, you know, watch it there. And they say, hey, you got to get the WWE Network. And not only do you get WrestleMania, but you get the Legends of Wrestling, and you get the Legends House, and you get the countdown shows, and you get all the pay-per-views at your disposal. So it's going to be a lot of hype. And, of course, they're also trying to get the remaining cable networks, or I should say, cable satellite, the remaining networks that are kind of on the borderline to say, hey, you know, if you want to give up pay-per-views, that's fine. Switch over to the network.
Yeah. Something tells me that these cable companies and satellites are going to start to buckle. Dish Network is already starting to buckle a little bit by saying we're going to go ahead and carry Mania, and we're going to weigh the situation on a case-by-case event-by-event basis with WWE. That pretty much tells me, let's go ahead and negotiate with WWE and try to get this network on TV, because they're not going to fold. They're not going to buckle as far as their plans here. But you know what? If WWE would put the shows unedited, uncensored, you know, as they said they would, there wouldn't really be any issue with people subscribing. I know for a fact there's a lot of people who have subscribed that have canceled due to this situation.
Absolutely. And we want to talk, you know, what I'm most looking forward to WrestleMania weekend, I think I said this before, is the Hall of Fame inductions. They're actually going to be on the WWE Network. Hopefully, you know, we get a chance to see them deliver their acceptance speeches in full, and that being cut down to 2 or 3 minutes to try to, you know, fit it into USA Network time or get it on a DVD. But this year we'll get a chance to be live, and we can actually see what people say. It's uncut, unscripted, uncensored. I'm looking forward to that. And I know this year with the Hall of Fame, there's always debate on, is the Hall of Fame on the money? Are we getting the right inductions? Because I know that you read an article. It seems like Lanny Poffo always pops up around WrestleMania time, but Lanny Poffo, again, going back to the, I guess, the history with WWE and Randy Savage and Angelo Poffo, the father, that it was Randy's wish that the Poffo family go in the Hall of Fame. So, again, here's Hall of Fame 2014. I mean, Macho's been gone for, what, a couple of years now? And once again, you know, Randy Savage was not announced as this year's class of Hall of Fame inductees. But I don't know, Frank, do you think it's all the sticky point with the issues of Randy wanting the whole Poffo family to be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, see, reading that article that I read this morning, and you can actually find that article on Gerwig.net. It's a very interesting read there about the Poffo WWE situation. From what I read there as I was talking to you offline, apparently the feud with Savage and McMahon goes all the way back to 1987. Apparently they had some type of a battle royal for a lot of the old-time superstars, and Randy asked Vince if his father, Angelo Poffo, could be in this battle royal, and they turned him down and said no. So Randy Savage had a huge problem with that. I guess he carried that one up for years. He said that my dad should have been in this match. And everything I've read about Macho, he was very protective of his family, very protective of his father and his brother. So we fast forward this on down the line to Savage's WWF run. He, you know, he says that Lanny said that Macho Man didn't like the fact that Vince thought that his in-ring career was pretty much done and over with. Macho felt that he still had a lot to give, and to be relegated to an announcer on Monday Night Raw did not sit well with Savage, to the point where Savage, you know, took his ball, took his Slim Jim endorsement, and went down south to WCW.
And
exactly. Took that. I mean, and that hurt McMahon there, because Vince was getting, you know, some of that payoff from Slim Jim. So Macho took that license and went down to WCW, made even more money with it. And for McMahon to think that his in-ring career was over, obviously it wasn't. So, you know, you fast forward that, Macho Man did not like any of the Nacho Man skits the WWE were doing. He did not like the fact that they were making fun of his bald spot on his head. Macho Man was very, very insecure about that. Very insecure. So he did not like that at all. He did not like the fact that they were insinuating in some of their segments there that Elizabeth could have been fooling around with Hulk Hogan. He didn't like that either. And Macho Man went on later to do a video, and I think it was around 2001, where he did some kind of video where he was talking about Stephanie McMahon and talking about how that was, you know, it was his girl before Triple H and all that. And honestly, Steve, looking back on it now, before Macho Man did this video, you never heard the rumor about Stephanie or Macho Man. You never heard it before that. So I personally kind of think that whole rumor came about because of this video Macho Man did on the internet.
I don't think anybody's ever confirmed that.
Right.
Which leads to believe, I mean, people have done a lot of shoots. I don't believe anybody's ever confirmed that that was the story behind the heat with Randy Savage and Vince McMahon, which has been rumored for a long time.
I don't think it is.
So, if the friction, as far as the Hall of Fame is concerned, is because Randy is insistent that the Poffo family be inducted all at the same time, I think WWE's got two ways to handle this. One is, let's put the Poffo family in. We've got the Von Erich family in. Although, as I was, you know, telling you offline, I don't really think there's a lot of comparison between Von Erichs and Poffos. Maybe some people feel differently. I mean, the World Class was a really hot territory. Had a lot of the major stars go through there. NWA was real big at that time. The NWA champion would come defend the championship in Texas as part of a lot of their bigger shows. I'm not a big fan myself, per se, of getting whole families in Hall of Fames, whole groups. I know we've talked about putting DX in the Hall of Fame and NWO and some of the other factions, bigger groups. I would rather see an individual get in based on individual performance, like they belong in because their careers dictate that they are Hall of Fame material. So WWE has, I think, two ways to look at this. They can say, let's respect Randy's opinion. Let's put Lanny and Angelo and Randy together, the Poffo family in the Hall of Fame. Or, as I suggested to you, Frank, is they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put Randy in. So we reach out to Lanny. We say, Lanny, you can induct your brother, but if you don't want to, that's fine. We'll get Hulk Hogan. We'll get somebody from his era to induct the Macho Man, and we'll put Randy Savage in on his own. So I think there's two ways to go about it. But either way, Frank, both should be happening. Either should be happening because at the end of the day, Randy Savage needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Right. Randy needs to be in there. Randy should have been one of the first inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean, how can you not – how can you have a Hall of Fame with Hulk Hogan, San Martino, Bret Hart, Man Hart, you know, Shawn Michaels, Ultimate Warrior, and not have Randy Savage in that class? You know, that's a huge, huge problem for a lot of wrestling fans who grew up, you know, with the Macho Man Randy Savage and understands the contributions that this man made to the wrestling industry. But, you know, continuing on here real quick with this article I read, one of the biggest problems that Lanny has is that nobody, and I mean nobody outside of Howard Finkel from the WWE, has ever called the Poffo family and said, we give you our condolences on the loss of Randy or Angelo Poffo. And I can tell you right now, when WWE didn't call about Randy's father, Angelo, that really pissed off the Macho Man even more.
And I should have also said, and they could do the Poffos in the Hall of Fame, they could do Randy Savage alone, or the one that we've suggested before is Randy Savage and Elizabeth at the same time.
Yeah, somehow I don't see that one happening.
Now that probably brings up more wounds because obviously another tragic passing young woman passes away because of her demons caught up to her and she wasn't able to overcome them and they overcame her, which is probably the reason they wouldn't go that direction. But
her demon of Lex Luger.
If you want to just shoot how it is,
I mean, they said when this woman died, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, you know, said it best. He said, if I had seen the little guy, I would have kicked his ass. Because Elizabeth had all kind of bruises all over her body. Or where Luger was using her as a punching bag. So being in a situation like that, she's better off.
Man, that woman's gone through some
crazy
terrible terrible times in wrestling. I mean,
yeah.
If you look back at that, I mean, I'm sure she made a lot of money for doing very little, people would say. I mean, other than looking good, she was like one of the original divas, I guess you would say nowadays. But she had a very turbulent relationship with Randy, and maybe that's another reason not to go that direction with Randy and Elizabeth. But I think a lot of people, when they think Savage, they think, you know, Elizabeth down that aisle. I mean, that was part of his shtick there in the 80s. And, of course, they had the real big program with Hulk Hogan where she was kind of in the middle of that. That was one of the bigger, you know, feuds they did.
Right.
I could see them doing that, and I can understand why they don't go in that direction. But to me, Frank, the bottom line is the ball's in WWE's court.
Right.
And to have, what, 2 years after Randy has passed away, that we're not even really hearing his name being discussed. I'm sure it is. I mean, it has to be after year.
Yeah.
It's got to be the front and center name every single, until he gets in. The first name who are we going to get in this year? I mean, Savage's name has to come up first name every year now.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, 2014, and it's a good class. I got no beef with the class, but where's Savage?
Yeah. It has to. If you work for WWE, I mean, I the Legends Roundtable that they do, I mean, you always hear Michael Hayes, you know, when they talk about Macho Man, he always says the late, great Randy Savage. Macho Man has a lot of respect in that company for a lot of different people, but a lot of people won't say anything because they don't know the real story between what the heat is between him and Vince. So, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know exactly who's to blame for this situation of why Savage isn't in there. But like you just said, his name has to be discussed. His name has to come up at some point of, are we going to eventually do this and when are we going to do it? And Lanny Poffo also said that they could, you know, posthumously induct Savage into the Hall of Fame and all they would have to do is just call his mother and give condolences, or Randy wouldn't even be there. That's all.
You know, Frank's.
That's all WWE would have to do is just call and tell the mother, you know, we give condolences on the passing of Randy Savage. That's all they have to do. Otherwise, he won't be there, and they can do whatever they want.
That's pretty bad. They haven't done. If that's true, that's pretty bad on their part. I mean, neglecting him for the Hall of Fame for as long as they have. I mean, for neglecting Randy for as long as they have, but not even to offer condolences.
Hey, we heard the same story about you know, Nelson Frazier. I mean, the wife said that, you know, they didn't even call her to, after all the stuff that he had done in that company, they never even called her to say, you know, we give our condolences, our personal condolences.
Well, but they did it on the website, right?
I believe they did. But it's not, I mean, what she's talking about is, hey, pick up the phone and say, hey, this is Paul Levesque, Triple H, or this is Vince McMahon, or this is Stephanie McMahon. We want to call and give you our condolences on behalf of the company for your loss. But I guess WWE isn't in the business of doing this. You know, if somebody dies, okay, we'll put up a video for them, and then we move on.
Yeah, I guess that's it. You know, we say our condolences on the website, and if you're a big enough star, you'll maybe get that little video. But that's our condolences for your family, right?
That's pretty much how it seems.
You know, going back to Savage, because, you know, with Bruno, we kept hearing he's not going to get in until he passes away.
Right.
Well, as you said, you know, Triple H reached out to Bruno, and Bruno was always under the opinion that they still were doing the kind of the smut TV, the raunchiness of the Attitude Era, more sexual material, things that he didn't agree with. Of course, from his era, they never did all that stuff, so obviously he didn't like that stuff. So they reach out and they explain to, you know, we're a different company today. We're PG. You know, we have respect. We look out for our wrestlers. We have a wellness policy. Come in the Hall of Fame. So Bruno comes in. I mean, the two biggest names that were out were Bruno and Savage.
Right.
Well, Savage has passed away. So it's not like they have to reach out to Randy to get Randy to come in. Randy's gone.
Yep.
So now, as I said before, the ball is in their court, and they have to make it happen. I mean, like I said, they can put the Poffo family in, or they can put Randy in. Either way, he should be in.
And at the end of the day, if they can't get to some type of agreement with Lanny, who I'm pretty sure they would, you know, I'm just like this. WWE is not going to do anything that's going to make them look bad. So I think a lot of people would be like, well, if you didn't get the blessings of the Poffo family to put Randy in there, that we don't want to have anything to do with it. This is stupid. Because if you have him come out there and you have the one and only person who I think would induct him, who should induct him, would be Hogan. And Hogan comes out there and says, well, you know, brother, the Poffo family is here. They gave their, you know, they gave us their blessing, and it's not true. I think that's going to have egg on the WWE's face. And they're not going to do anything that's going to make their corporate image look bad. So until they come to some type of an agreement with Savage's family, and that includes Savage's wife, I highly doubt that you're going to see Macho Man go in the Hall of Fame anytime soon.
Well, I mean, if you're worried about perception, especially perception of your Hall of Fame, not having Randy Savage in is ridiculous. I mean, there's no defense for anybody to argue why Randy Savage is not in the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, last year you got Bruno in, right? Or the year before you got Bruno in. Bruno's in. That was a sticky point for the longest time. I mean, the guy had the title for 7 years. One of the greatest world champions of all time. Terrible announcer, as we discovered on our announcers podcast, but one of the all-time great wrestlers. They got him in while he was still alive, and he accepted. He went in and got and did the whole shebang. But, I mean, if you want people to take your Hall of Fame seriously, and I had debates, Frank, with people online about, well, why do the people call WWE Hall of Fame a joke? And my biggest, well, there's a couple things. I mean, one was always, you know, James Dudley, the limo driver, was in the Hall of Fame. Coco Beware is in the Hall of Fame, who was a mid-carder at best. I mean, nothing I can't say nothing. Not he wasn't special, but it wasn't any. I mean, he wasn't a draw. He wasn't a reason why people put their butts 18 inches between each other, as Jim Ross would say.
Right.
And the biggest joke is Randy Savage. I mean, no, like I said, no disrespect to this year's class. They all deserve it. I don't know, Cologne maybe, question mark on that one. But at the end of the day, all the people you're putting in the Hall of Fame this year should be behind Randy Savage. Everybody you put in last year's Hall of Fame should have been behind Randy Savage.
Yep.
And year after year, now, as you said, you don't think he's going to get in anytime soon. I mean, that to me looks like a really black eye to the company. Is you have this Hall of Fame, and who knows, Frank, maybe at some point, with his negotiations with their TV deal, maybe you're going to see a physical Hall of Fame. Maybe they'll put a physical Hall of Fame in Orlando or another city like that. And you're going to go to a WWE Hall of Fame, a physical Hall of Fame, and not see Randy Savage? I mean, how ridiculous is that?
Yeah, and a lot of it, too, is I think that it has a lot to do with Vince McMahon and Vince McMahon's stubbornness. Because I guarantee you, if this was Triple H on his own making this decision, Randy would be in there. And I really believe that. Because Triple H convinced Bruno to get in. You
so know? We're gonna have to wait until Vince McMahon passes away to get Randy in?
I'm thinking that.
Wow, that's
because all these other guys that are coming in and I mean, from what I understand, you got Warrior and all these guys in. This is all because of Triple H. You know, Triple H is the guy who handles all these day-to-day operations now with a lot of these wrestlers, and this is all Triple H is doing. You got to put BS aside. What did Randy really do that was that bad besides holding animosity because of the way he felt the way he treated his father? And I hope to God that it's not nothing to do with Vince's daughter Stephanie, because if that's the case, then she can go to hell.
Well, if that is really the case, and that's Vince's beef, that's never going to change, and you may be right. You may not see Randy get in until Vince passes away.
Well, I'll tell you the thing about this. If that's the case, Steve, can I go ahead and shoot with this one?
Go right ahead.
Okay. This, the bottom line is this. If that's the case, where if the rumor is true that Stephanie McMahon had some type of a relationship with Randy Savage, and I'm not saying it is, if that's the case, and Vince McMahon somehow found out about this situation, okay, you know what? Bottom line, at the end of the day, your daughter's a whore. Because she did the same thing with Triple H, knew Triple H was in a relationship at the time with Jungle Hour in China. And they started having an affair. So it's no different. Your daughter has tendencies to sleep with the talent. And I'm sorry, I don't give a damn how many kids Triple H has with Stephanie. She'll probably run around with him too. If she's not already, I mean,
well, the rumor. Yeah. The rumor was, wasn't it, that Stephanie was much younger then?
That's what it was.
That was
that's
his beef because Randy was obviously an older guy,
right?
And he was messing around with a much younger Stephanie McMahon,
right? And that's not saying that she was underage or anything like that.
I don't know. I don't know how old she would have allegedly been at that age, but right. It was always that she was much younger than obviously is today. I mean, years ago.
Right.
And I don't know exactly what year we're talking about because nobody's ever pinpointed it. Nobody's ever said this is what happened, but we've always heard that Stephanie was a very young girl at that time.
Right. And if Stephanie was a very young girl at that time, Stephanie was just a promiscuous whore. And that's just the bottom line.
Well, if she was underage, Vince has a beef.
I don't think she was.
If that is the case, he'd have a beef.
Right.
But
I don't think so.
But if that was the case, he still worked with Randy after that, for sure.
Right.
I mean, you go back and look what Stephanie's like, what, 35?
Right.
Let's see. Stephanie McMahon is 37 years old right now.
Oh, she's 37 now?
She was born in 76.
Okay.
So for her to be underage, you're still talking early 90s.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, when was the last year Randy Savage was in the WWF?
Savage was there, let's see, Savage left in 94.
So, in 94, Stephanie would have been 18. As you would say, she would have been legal age in 1994.
Right.
That could explain part of the part of Randy Savage leaving, I would imagine, at that point, if that was the case.
No, because when Savage left, Vince McMahon wished him well. He says that he got, you know, he found out that the Macho Man Randy Savage was not going to be re-signing with the company, and he wished him, you know, he wished him a heartfelt, you know, farewell from the company.
Well, if that's sincere, then I don't see how Randy could have fooled around with Stephanie underage then.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense.
No. If he left the company in 94 and Stephanie is 18, I don't think he's fooling around with Stephanie when he's in WCW.
No, because Savage showed up in WCW in December of 94.
And then a short time later, he was with what?
Gorgeous George. He didn't get her until 99.
Okay, so, but again, you'd have to say that he was fooling around with Stephanie between 94 and 99 when he's with WCW at that time.
Right.
Which seems highly unlikely.
Right.
So, I don't maybe they were dispelling that rumor. I mean, if you do the math, I don't think she was underage, and then if she's illegally 18 in 1994, he's with WCW at that time.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense that that's part of the...
No, because if that's the case, if this was something internal that was going on at the time in WWE where Vince McMahon knew about this, there would be no way in hell Vince McMahon would go on television and say, I want to give a heartfelt, you know, goodbye and farewell to the Macho Man Randy Savage. He did that on Monday Night Raw.
Right.
So that's yep. I don't believe it. I think this whole rumor came out, like I said earlier, it all started when Savage did that video in 2000. And anybody can go on YouTube and look up the video where he's talking about Stephanie McMahon and talking about Triple H and all that. And Savage is just trying to get Randy says that Savage loved Triple H. But then Triple H came out and said something about Randy, about him being like being old and being a dinosaur. So that was Savage's cheap, comeback at Triple H for that.
I think if we've established that there was nothing with Stephanie or Stephanie was legal age or whatever, and this is all about the Poffo family and some of the friction that Savage had with WWF or Vince McMahon. I mean, this is the Hall of Fame now, and Randy's dead. It's time to move on. I mean, you waited a couple of years since Randy's passed away anyways. Randy's gone. I mean, we're not going to get Randy back. Randy's gone.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when I think Hall of Fame, I think you go up there and you accept, you make your speech and you talk about your career. And we've been cheated out of that now because Randy's gone. We can't get Randy back.
Yep.
I mean, the best we can do is maybe Lanny or Hulk Hogan to go up there and talk, glowingly about Randy. But I mean, Randy's gone. At the very least, WWF, I mean, if you want, or WWE, if you want your Hall of Fame to be serious, and that's why I'm going to put my Hall of Fame over here, because we don't have this kind of crap.
Right.
Okay? We can debate, voting, but if you look at my roster of people in my Hall of Fame, there's no politics. You're in the Hall of Fame because you belong in the Hall of Fame. Bottom line. And that we're... Oh, well, he didn't like to be called Nacho. He didn't like the Nacho Man gimmick, or he didn't like, he wanted his whole family in the Hall of Fame. Well, heck with that. Screw Randy. I mean, it's all politics.
Yep.
And if that's what it comes down, if that's what's, I mean, 2 years after his death, that's still what's the holdup? I mean, that's just sad on WWE's part.
Right.
I don't know what the justification would be now. Because, I mean, every year, as I said before, every year the first name comes up. Who's in the Hall of Fame this year? Who's getting in? If Randy Savage is not the first name, then there's a serious problem here.
Yep. And he goes a little bit.
Who else is there?
Yeah.
Who else is there out there? I mean, one name I'll mention right here because it ties into our next topic here with my Hall of Fame, Diamond Dallas Page.
Right.
And we want to talk about this because I know both of myself and Frank here are kind of dumbfounded because we've been talking about this the whole month of March as he was on the ballot, and 62% was the final number. I saw the number go from one time it was like 66% down to 65, 64. I mean, at the end it was down to 62%. And of course, I have a high percentage number because I want the best of the best in. But I was really surprised that DDP did not get in my Hall of Fame. He got 62%, so he fails to get in. And of course, in 1 year, in March of 2015, he'd be available or could get back on the ballot if people want him back on the ballot. But Frank, when I look at his career, and I know we had this debate on Gerwick.net, some people didn't think his reign was memorable, or his title reign was memorable, or they think of kind of the death of WCW, think the dying days of WCW, and then they think DDP. But, I mean, when I look at this guy's career, and I remember him from the AWA managing Bad Company back in the day, and then he went on to manage Medusa and Kurt Hennig and Bam Bam Bigelow and Scotty Flamingo and Vinnie Vegas and the Diamond Stud, the Fabulous Freebirds. And he went on to win the WCW Championship 3 times, 2-time U.S. champion, 4-time WCW World Tag Team Champion, a television champion, went on to WWE, and I know his people would poo-poo his WWF run, but the European Championship and a Tag Team Championship, and it's amazing that people still say, well, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, that's beyond me. I mean, look at the guy's portfolio. You just named everything he's done. How does that not get you in the Hall of Fame? What do you want to be? You want to be a damn jobber? Does that get you in? I did a bunch of matches on WCW Saturday Night. They're gonna put me in the Hall of Fame.
Maybe need a bird on your shoulder.
Yeah, and I don't want to. I mean, I don't want to. You know, just talk about Choco Beware, but he would be the obvious one.
Well, I mean, I liked Choco Beware. Don't get me wrong, but I've never thought Choco Beware Hall of Fame.
Oh well, and what championships did Choco hold in the WWF?
That's right.
Yeah, you know what I mean. What championships did he hold? Was Choco ever a part of WCW? Did you ever hear Choco's name come up in the Monday Night Wars? You never thought about, oh my goodness, coming up next week on Nitro, is Choco Beware going to be a part of the NWO or not? Is he going to come out with a black and white Frankie? You never heard that, and I'm not gonna sit here and make fun of Choco and pick on Choco because it's not right. But I mean, he's the one that stands out the most.
Absolutely,
because it just doesn't make any sense. It's like, what the hell were they smoking that year when they made the phone call? It's kind of like you want to put in, you know, Johnny Ace in the Hall of Fame for what? For trying to ride a skateboard, you know, it doesn't make any sense. And there's lots of guys that should be in the Hall of Fame that are not in the Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, hey, you know, we talk about Randy Savage and Just Do. Macho Man is at the top of the list. Icon. Ooh yeah, that thing here is synonymous with just culture. Everybody says that. But then you think about another guy who's not in the Hall of Fame. Ravishing Rick Rude.
Absolutely.
Why is Rick Rude not in the Hall of Fame? Nobody ever brings up Rick Rude. Why is Big Van Vader not in the Hall of Fame? As far as tag teams go, you got the Steiner Brothers. You got the Demolition.
British Bulldogs.
British Bulldogs.
Yeah, how is Davey Boy Smith not in on his own merits?
Don't know.
Because he died at 39, and they don't want to bring that can up again, right? Although, okay, they got Mr. Perfect in.
Yeah, you can bring Mr. Perfect up in. And he cocaine overdose.
Yes, at about 40 years old.
Right. So, I mean, we put the guy in. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of politics there, like you said. And it's just, you can't have politics when you're dealing with something like this. And that's what makes the Hall of Fame like a joke.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, going back to DDP and in my Hall of Fame, I got, here's the 90s kid. This is his handle on GirlWake.net. Well, the reason I voted no was because he was easily forgettable when compared to other guys. Watched a lot of his matches and realized that he honestly was not even one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. He was a gimmick, good on the mic, and did a nice diamond cutter. I don't believe he's Hall of Fame worthy.
Okay, wait a minute. What do you mean he was a gimmick?
I guess because they call him DDP.
Okay, so
it's like
so,
Triple H.
So it's Triple H or something.
I guess so.
Is Shawn Michaels a gimmick?
HBK?
Yeah, was Ric Flair a gimmick? Nature Boy? Bret the Hitman Hart? Sting?
Probably the greatest is The Undertaker. Undertaker's going to get in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the biggest gimmicks of all time.
Right, is Undertaker a gimmick? So we're saying that if we go back and look at that statement, you're saying, would you be saying that The Undertaker doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he was a gimmick? It is maybe his matches. I mean, hey, The Undertaker's shriek, really, when you think about it, wasn't that good, and he was a gimmick. Come on. Diamond Dallas Page managed, you know, all these different guys, Freebirds. I mean, if you think about what he did for Scott Hall, and I'm not talking about what he's done for him as far as rehabilitation. I'm talking about Hall's career. You go back in time and you look at how this guy took Scott Hall from being Big Scott Hall with the mustache and all that to doing his hair differently, going with the 5 o'clock shadow, basically creating Razor Ramon as the Diamond Stud before he ever got to WWF. That's what he did for Scott Hall. Then you want to talk about the humanitarian effort. This guy saved the lives of Jake the Snake Roberts and Scott Hall. Look where Scott Hall was a year ago, and look at him now. That right there, on a humanitarian effort of what he did for two guys, that right there should classify him as a Hall of Famer right there. Because this, we all know that wrestling is a work sport. Okay, there's nothing working about saving two guys' lives. That's as real as it gets. And you look at Savage, you look at Diamond Dallas Page. Hey, we're talking about Macho Man. Go back to 1997 and look at the feud between Savage and DDP. That's the feud right there that put DDP on the map. And then after that, DDP was on matches with Hogan. He was on matches with Hall. He was on matches with Sting. He was on matches with Lex Luger. He was on matches with Kurt Hennig. He was doing stuff with Flair. DDP was a hell of a worker. 3-time WCW World Heavyweight Champion. That right there alone gets you, in my opinion, to the Hall of Fame. Being a world champion and being on WCW at the end when it was garbage and still being at the top of your game. That's what it's all about. That's what makes the Hall of Fame. Not the politics of, hey, we got nobody to put in today. Do you have Coco Beware's hotel room?
Yeah, in fact, one of our readers actually said, DDP, DDP was one of the only reasons to watch WCW in the dying days. He got the worst writing in wrestling history thrown in his face every week and still was always able to manage to shine nonetheless. And yet you have somebody like Pat here writes, DDP or DD Me had a pretty good run during the Monday Night Wars, but the big picture, it was relatively short compared to the big runs of the other top stars. During his peak run in WCW, he didn't feel as big or as important as Hogan, Goldberg, Sting, or Nash. By the time he was a world champion, WCW was noticeably a number two. His WWE run was forgettable. Also, he doesn't compare favorably to other stars of his era, such as Austin, Rock, Undertaker, or Triple H. DDP might be a Hall of Fame entrepreneur, fitness personality, or lifestyle coach, but he wasn't an elite, top-tier pro wrestler.
How do you say that when, if you look at the scope of WCW at the time, when you look at the WCW side, the top baby faces in WCW were Sting, DDP, and Lex Luger? So how do you come up with that? On the other side of the heel side, you have the top heels were Hogan, Hall, Nash, and Randy Savage. So I don't understand that one. I don't get that.
Well, Dragon wrote that he feels that a lot of the fans voting today have no clue what WCW was or what it meant. All they know is that WCW was beaten by Vince McMahon. So unless it's somebody WWE pushes all the time, he probably won't get into the Gerwig.net Hall of Fame. But again, I would say, we just had CM Punk on the ballot, who's one of the biggest overstars in WWE currently, and he didn't get in. So I don't know if I fully can understand that argument. I understand what people are saying, that we have some newer fans now, and some of us may not recognize some of the past contributions. And maybe one of the things we can do in the future, now that I think about this, is when somebody goes on the ballot, maybe we can have a write-up about their career. I think that might be interesting to maybe just remember, you know, what they accomplished and titles they won and where they've been and promotions they've been in and some of their career highlights. And maybe that's what people are forgetting sometimes. But I just think when you look at his roster, or I should say his resume per se, I don't know how you can not. I mean, I can't say I was a huge DDP fan, but what more do you want the guy to do? He was a great manager. He was a great commentator, a great in-ring worker, held almost all the major championships.
He was married to Kimberly.
I don't. What more do you want the guy to do? I mean, I have no idea.
I mean, I'll tell you something right now, though. I will say that his WWE run was pretty shoddy at best. You know, that whole stalker thing was stupid. I mean, but the guy was the people's champ way before The Rock ever was The Rock.
Well, I mean, if you're going to judge a guy solely on his WWF career, I mean, that's pretty blindsided.
Right.
I mean, he was one of the biggest stars of WCW during the Monday Night Wars.
Absolutely.
Bottom line, you can say Nash or Hogan or Flair or Savage, you could say those guys were bigger, but I mean, the next tier was definitely DDP in that group, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Diamond Dallas,
I mean,
he was Diamond Dallas Page, that diamond cutter?
Yeah.
Dude. the RKO.
Yep.
Are you kidding
absolutely.
Me?
Absolutely.
Are you really kidding me?
Yeah, so, you know, this month is Scott Hall, and Scott Hall got 57% in 2009.
Wait, 1 second, please. Let me ask you this question really quick. Is it Scott Hall or is it Razor Ramon?
We're going to go with Scott Hall, which I think would incorporate Razor Ramon since Scott Hall impersonated Razor Ramon in the early 90s.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Although I know for the WWE Hall of Fame, it's Razor Ramon, Chico.
Right. Oh, yeah, man.
So, yeah, but to separate it's Scott Hall, which would mean WWE, would mean WCW, would mean AWA, his whole career. I'm glad you make that clarification because I know there's still some confusion about Razor Ramon's going in the Hall of Fame, but not Scott Hall.
Right. So. But if you look at the Hall of Fame, everybody going in is a gimmick. I mean, you got the Ultimate Warrior. You got Jake the Snake, Lita. It's not like we're going to, as Matt Hardy would say, it's not like they're inducting Amy Duma. You know? It's not like they're going to induct Amy Duma into the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
You know, you got that murderer Carlos Colon going in. Man, my goodness. You know what? As we're doing this podcast, just, you know, I get sidetracked a little bit. I'm actually looking at the Raw from last night, and I never noticed that little El Matador bull they have out there with the Los Matadores, that guy is really dressed like the Giant Gonzalez. Crazy.
You know, Frank, as we talk a little bit about your time, you know, we were talking about WrestleMania. They actually posted, I'm surprised they did this, at WWE.com, they posted an article on matches that were talked about that never actually happened because, you know, when I look at this list of 10 matches that they posted, some of them sound better than the matches that we actually got.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at this list and we're talking Mr. McMahon versus Mick Foley at WrestleMania 17. Now, I could see those two fighting it out in a hardcore match.
Yeah.
We got Ric Flair against Hulk Hogan. The WWE Championship match for WrestleMania 8. And we were talking offline. I think back to that period because, you know, I as a kid in the 80s, I wanted to see Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan because Ric Flair was NWA and Hulk Hogan was WWF. And then when Ric Flair was free and he went to WWF, they really didn't build that up. I mean, that should have been a huge match for WWF.
Right. And it turned out to be a huge deal for WCW in the long run.
Yeah. Mike Tyson versus Triple H in a boxing match for WrestleMania 17. Now, that would have been pretty interesting.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that one is that where would the story come from as to why this match would be done? Are we going to go all the way back to WrestleMania 14 when Tyson knocked out Michaels at the end?
It'll be Michaels versus DX.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, where that match there, I'm pretty sure it would have been a huge deal, but where is the story coming from?
That's true. They would have to build that up a little bit differently than what the route they went, of course. And
yeah.
We got Big Show versus Shaq. Now, remember, this was a match that was seriously talked about, and for whatever reason, I think Shaq was interested in doing it. He never did it. And then, of course, the match went to Floyd Mayweather. But it would have been interesting to see the big feet of Shaq versus the big feet of the Big Show.
Yeah, that...
Not that I would want to see the match itself, because I know it would stink, but, you know. Although, I guess, you know, Mayweather did pretty well considering that he's, you know, a boxer, not a wrestler.
Yeah, Mayweather did damn good.
Yeah.
He did damn good in that match. Sure. It was entertaining, and the people legitimately wanted to see Mayweather get hurt.
Absolutely, of course, yeah. Razor Ramon, the guy we just talked about, Chico. Against Gold Dust in the Miami Street Fight for WrestleMania 12.
Yeah, now, isn't the rumor mill has it that at the time that they were going to do this matchup, Scott didn't want to work with Gold Dust. And also, I think at the time there, Scott was having a lot of problems financially with WWE, which was him talking at the time to WCW. So Scott would make an appearance in WWE in Memorial Day, May of 96. This show would have been in, what, March of 96?
Mm-hmm, right.
So, you know, Hall was already going out the door.
Yeah, WrestleMania 12 was, what, Anaheim? That was the Brett versus HBK Iron Man match.
Yep.
We could have had John Cena versus Jay-Z and Fabulous in a battle rap at WrestleMania 19.
And I'm glad that we didn't.
I'm glad we did. That's one I definitely would not want to see.
Yeah, I mean, I like you know, all types of music. I like rap music myself, but that would have been horrible. I mean, John Cena would have been embarrassed, and pretty much. I mean, the Fabulous is one thing, but where in on God's green earth would they have gotten all this money to pay Jay-Z to appear there? What would have happened?
That Illuminati sellout. We don't want to see him anyways. Forget him. Kane versus X-Pac, WrestleMania 2000.
That one I don't understand why that didn't happen. They were both on the show. I think they did a six-man tag or something that year. I know that was one of I think Pete Rose's last appearances for the company. After that, and that's when WrestleMania. See, that's right there is when WrestleMania was fun. When Pete Rose would come out there every single year to attack Kane.
Right.
That was fun. So if you don't see stuff like that anymore, all you see now is Fandango and stupid stuff like that.
Mankind versus Vader talked about at WrestleMania 13. Now, that would have been real interesting.
That would have been good because it goes this match here goes all the way back to the WCW days.
Yeah,
when ripped his ear off over there in Germany.
And one you can give us some background on would have been WrestleMania 18. Stone Cold Steve Austin against Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
Yep. Bottom line with this one is that Scott Hall says it best. Hall says that when they came to the WWF in 2002 as the NWO, the idea was for Hall, Nash, and Hogan to beat Austin and Rock at WrestleMania in those respective matches. Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, does a bitch fit. And doesn't want to do the JOB. He says, why are we pushing these guys? They just tried to put us out of business a year ago. So all the plans change, and the storyline goes to hell. Austin, you know, ends up beating Hall. Austin, you know, takes his ball and goes home. And that match pretty much never happens. Hogan goes babyface, and there was the NWO angle pretty much is done at that point. So that's it.
Because one of the scenarios was The Rock to beat Hogan, and then the NWO come in and beat down The Rock.
Right. NWO comes in and beats down The Rock, puts some heat on Hogan after he loses to Rock in the ring. And, you know, I guess they continue on for Backlash. But the plans had actually changed that weekend to the point where Scott Hall said, and I quote, Vince summons us to his hotel, tells us that the plans have changed. Hall doesn't like it and says, all right, well, I'm going to go ahead and go to the bar, and I'll see you later. So, yeah. The NWO angle didn't work because Stone Cold Steve Austin was, you know, pretty much being a prick about it.
So if you want to know why the NWO didn't work in WWE, of course, we talked about the NWO a couple podcasts ago.
Yep.
When they brought, you know, the poison in WWE, it certainly was a much watered-down NWO at that time. But, you know, they weren't going to – it was only three guys. They weren't going to invade the company. It was meant to go nowhere. And, of course, it was, I think, ultimately derailed by, you know, Austin's refusal to put them guys over.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because you had that little scenario with Brett talking about the Hall of Fame and his heat with Hulk Hogan, and then there's – Brett going in the Hall of Fame and Steve Austin and Brett see Hogan, and Hogan puts his hand out to shake his hand, their hands, and they look the other way.
Yep. And that's just how karma works.
Yeah. What's that old rat song? What goes around comes around?
Yeah,
round and round.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah. Round and round.
Yep.
So yeah.
It doesn't mean that
what goes around comes around.
Yeah. But it doesn't mean that Brett still has to cry about it all these years later.
Well, I do think what you said before, I think he's probably still very emotional with the stroke.
Yeah, probably so. I would hope that's what it is.
I would think so. I think sometimes it has a linger. You know, whether you think Brett's a crybaby or not, I got to respect somebody that feels so compelled about his career. Because some guys just like, yeah, I did this, I did that, and you know, Brett, I mean, he really genuinely cared about his career. He really cared about his legacy. I wish some guys would care a little bit more about their career and their legacies.
Well, I wouldn't really call Bret Hart a crybaby. I mean, I'd call Ric Flair that. I wouldn't call Bret Hart that. And I'm going by the stories I've heard about Flair in the WCW. You know, Rick Rude talking about, I can't believe with a body like you have, Flair, they're pushing you over me. That just made Ric Flair just cry tears.
Especially with those boobs he had.
Especially with Ric Flair's big boobs, exactly. There's a reason why Vince Russo said, you're not going out on TV without a shirt on, Flair. Nobody wants to see you, your skin, going one way like Mr. Burns. Nobody wants to see that.
You got bigger boobs than Pamela Anderson at the time, you know.
Exactly.
We don't want to see that,
exactly.
You know.
Exactly.
So, yeah, and then, of course, talk about crybaby, you have sick and CM Punk, too.
Take
your ball and go home.
take your balls and go home, Punk. Well, you don't have any because you went home, and I don't know what the deal is with that guy. I could care less, man. You know, you know what? I'm reading on the internet people saying, oh, it's all one big work, and the payoff is going to come at WrestleMania. Right. It's one big work. What's the payoff?
Yeah, what do they get out of it?
Exactly.
I mean, he's missing WrestleMania.
Exactly. What's fair? Punk come in at the end and he knocks out Daniel Bryan and prevents him from winning the championship?
No.
Yeah.
We'll talk about WrestleMania 30 with Dominic, but I highly doubt that.
Oh, I don't think so. It's kind of like, is Drew McIntyre ever going to be that guy that gets the world title? No.
The question is CM Punk the modern-day HBK?
No.
Where he loses his smile and he goes home?
No, I don't think so, man. No. Nope, I don't think so. Punk is not...
Well,
no.
I guess at least he didn't have a championship belt and decide he didn't want to lose it. I mean, that's pretty bad for HBK to do stuff like that.
Yeah, well, you know what? That was Sean.
Yep, that was his. So, I mean, maybe HBK is going through this phase, and maybe he'll come out of it, and he'll be a different man. I don't know.
I don't know. Do I think Punk is done with wrestling, done with WWE?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, no, no,
no,
no, of course.
He's not done.
Where's he going to go?
Yeah, exactly. Where is he going to go?
New Japan?
Hey, listen, I know what people are going to say. He's going to go to TNA.
Get paid flies? I mean, they ain't got no money.
Go to TNA for what?
Maybe he's going to be the new investor. I who knows? I mean, come on.
He's going to go to TNA. So he's going to go on there, and I'm telling you, right now, big story. It's going to be Slammiversary. It's going to be CM Punk 1-on-1 against the biggest star they have in TNA. Abyss, it's on, man.
Wow. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's going to the Jeff Jarrett promotion. Who knows? I mean, course, I think he's under contract until July. So we'll
right.
see.
Right. But hey, I mean, you know what? He's getting married, so.
Hey, more power to you.
More power to you that you got. You got AJ Lee. Hey man, who in there? Who would not want to get with AJ Lee? That's one thing I will. Me and Punk have an agreement on right there. Who would not want? Who would not want that woman?
I'll reserve comment.
I gotta ask Jay Lethal how that was.
Oh yeah. With his great Macho Man impersonations back in the day.
Ooh yeah, dig it.
Dig it. Yeah, for sure.
Still thinking.
Well, he did a really good Randy Savage back in the day, didn't he?
Oh yeah.
He had that character down.
Oh yeah, one of my favorite Savage promos. The cream of the crop. Very interesting.
Absolutely. Well, I also want to remind fans this: what we're currently, as we tape this, the greatest Intercontinental Champion tournament has come down to the final two. And speaking of, ooh yeah, dig it. He's up there against Mr. Perfect.
Mm.
And as we're doing this podcast, it's 50-50. So we're gonna need everybody out there to vote. So we need to find out who's gonna win this one. And I tell you, Frank, when I think of these two, I'm really big fans of both. And when I think IC champion, I got to give the edge to Savage.
Yeah, I mean, damn, I have to. I'm a huge fan of both guys' work, but I'm very, very partial to Savage. And I mean, I go back to the greatest Intercontinental Championship match I ever saw with Perfect was the one he did with Bret Hart at SummerSlam, and Perfect had a bad back. He had a bad back when he did that match.
Hey, but Perfect was just a gimmick anyways, right?
hey, we don't have to. We
just
don't have,
a
we
gimmick.
Don't, we don't have to pick on that guy. Everybody, you know something, in all seriousness, everybody has the right to their opinion and how they feel about it. And our job here basically is to agree with you or agree to disagree. And the gentleman's comments, I forgot his name, he says that it was a gimmick. Cool. That's fine. That's how you feel it was a gimmick. Me? I don't feel it was a gimmick. Because you never saw Diamond Dallas Page come out with any damn diamonds. I never saw that. I never saw Diamond Dallas Page come out with a bag from the jewelry store. Never happened.
Yeah, that was a 90s kid.
Right. The 90s kid.
So, you know, Frank, I was thinking, too, another way to interact with us is just to comment on our comment board. You never know. We might bring it up right here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I threw it out there when DDP didn't get in. I said, I'd like to hear valid reasons as to why people voted against him.
Right.
And
I'm glad that people find.
People
leave,
did. So,
leave their
comments.
Hey, I love it, man. I love people. Yeah. I don't care if the comments are bad. I don't care if they're good. Say what you want to say. And if I don't like
Absolutely.
The comments, I'm going to rip you to shreds.
So, yeah, you can leave us a comment under this podcast. You know, we put the podcast. There's a comment box below. If you want to voice your opinions on this podcast, what you liked, what you didn't like, what you agreed with, what you didn't agree with.
Absolutely.
Because we don't sit here and expect everybody to agree with us because we know that's not going to happen.
Oh, I love the interaction with the listeners out there. That is cool. That's one of the things I look forward to is hearing what people have to say. You know, because like I said the whole time, man, it's like, you know, back in the day when the Gerlich Report Hotline was out, it was just everybody used to just love to call in and leave their comments and just listen to what other people have to say. But at the end of the day, you must care, and I'm talking about the 90s kid, at the end of the day, for him to say what he said shows right there that he's really a true fan. And he went back and looked at it and thought about it, and that's what he came up with, and I respect his opinion. Because he had to go back and look at this to come up with that decision that's how he felt about Diamond Dallas Page. All you can do is respect that. It's not like he's some jerk who has never seen DDP perform and comes up and says, well, he didn't do this and didn't do that. You know, I didn't like the way he was chasing Sarah around the ring. You know? So I respect that.
And I also want to mention, if you want to interact with us, you can do it through Twitter. We did establish the Gerlich Report on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/Gerlich Report, and we're adding followers as we speak. So if you want to go on there, follow us. And what I put up this week is something we're going to do eventually here, Frank. We're going to do The greatest entrances.
Oh, yeah.
So let us know who you think had the greatest entrance or entrance music, per se. In fact, we actually heard from a former WWF superstar actually responded to that as well. So
yeah.
we'll tell you who that was on a future podcast. But
also
let
this.
Us know.
Also, yeah. One thing, too, out there, ladies and gentlemen, you can also go over to the Google Play Store, and you can download the Gurick.net app. It comes in very handy. If you don't want to go on the website, go download the app. You get the same content that you get on the website on the app, so go check it out.
I'm glad you said that because sometimes I forget to even mention that we do have an app. So yeah.
Hey man, I'm Don West. I'm shooing.
Yeah, we don't have the little PayPal where you say you know send money.
Exactly.
You know, we just
don't let me get on the Frank D. Brown bag special.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, whole lots of old wild women wrestling, you know, VHS tapes.
Yeah, we gotta do a podcast someday and just on Frank's video library.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff, man. I got more stuff in the network, put it like that.
Yeah, sometimes when I talk to Frank, he's like, I got that.
I actually went out the other day. I bought the music of WWE DVD. So I thought that was pretty cool. It could have been longer, but it was kind of cool to see, you know, No Chance in Hell, how that was created. You know, it was cool.
I was going to say, you got the WWE music. It's probably stuff you can't get on the WWE network.
Pretty much.
You know?
I'm going out today, and I'm going to get that Ultimate Warrior.
Absolutely. And then, yeah, you can give us a review of it sometime. Let us know what you thought of that.
Yeah, I'll do that one of these days.
Sounds good. Well, that's our podcast for today. We appreciate you listening, especially people who have listened to this point, Frank. We do appreciate you listening. Hopefully you enjoyed the topics that we discussed. As always, you're encouraged to leave us your comments, your feedback, your suggestions. You want to hear us do a podcast on a particular topic, you let us know. You can always email me, betweentheropes@hotmail.com. You can tweet me at Gurwick. Like us, like the Gurwick.net page on Facebook. And I'm also Steve Gurwick on Facebook as well. Leave a comment right here at Gurwick.net. So, Frank, there's a plethora of ways to interact with us here.
Exactly.
On the podcast.
And take the opportunity to do that because we do it for the people. It's like Rikishi said back in the day, I did it for the Rock. We do it for the people.
Absolutely. As always, we appreciate you listening. We appreciate your support at Gurwick.net. Tune in this week, all week, WrestleMania coverage, WrestleMania 30 coming up on Sunday. And we'll be back later this week with Dominic Valente of the Wrestling Hot Seat. We'll get into WrestleMania past, present, and maybe in the future. Who knows?
Exactly.
We'll talk more about WrestleMania 30. So we'll look forward to that.
Well, we'll try not to talk so much about WrestleMania 30. We'll fit it in there because it's going to suck. But you know, we'll be happy to talk about the best WrestleManias. But we'll try to keep it slim with WrestleMania 30.
You know, one of Dominic's gimmicks on his hotline is every pay per view he does the predictions.
Right.
So I know we'll get him to do the predictions as well, and we'll throw out ours. I think it's a fairly easy card to predict, but yep. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a couple monkey wrenches here or there.
Yep. Can't wait.
Absolutely. So as always, tune to Gurwick.net for all your late-breaking wrestling news.